I would like to change my perceived level of self-efficacy. Mm-hmm. Self-efficacy being the belief of an individual that he or she can do the necessary things to reach a certain goal.
Alexandra Bathort came from Germany to Italy to do her PhD at the Louis University in Roma in the management department. She has lived in at least 6 different countries, and she also told me that she's very good at table football, which, by the way, we call baby foot in French, and I find it so much cuter.
We are, I guess, social animals, mm-hmm. We can say that maybe, and so you compare yourself to other people, to, in my case, like women my age and my education more or less, and I often feel like people who are more seemingly confident, so maybe have a higher level of self-efficacy, they are more the people who also achieve things, and they seem very relaxed in their way, and so that's something I've personally been working on, maybe also because the PhD is a very extreme example of this, where you're very much left alone for good reason to do your own work.
I think it's true. Like, so when you think you can achieve things, actually yes, it has an impact and you can actually achieve more things.
Yes, very much so. And it's very much based on experience as well. And sometimes I think I see people, so either I see people achieving things that are very similar to me, but those things they do, I'm thinking, wow, this is amazing. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know, in sports, it could be going for a half marathon or just trying this really difficult sports like underwater rugby. I don't know. Just go and try what can happen, right?
Underwater rugby must be. I wouldn't dare to try that, but
no?
Maybe you will. I wouldn't have maybe the self-efficacy or self-confidence for that. Maybe that's the point.
Maybe, And then on the other hand, sometimes you see people that you have like amazing talks with, you perceive that person maybe as a super intelligent, passionate person for something, but somehow this person doesn't get the hang of it. Somehow he or she never finishes what they are talking about, and you wonder, so what's going on? And then sometimes these people also tell you, hey, I think you are so well organized, so well structured, and so that on the one hand is really nice to hear, it's a compliment, but also I feel like these are often things where I don't think much about. So when someone says that to me, for example, about bouldering, like, yeah, well, I'm just trying, and if I fall off the wall, I will get on again. I don't think too much about it. And
so basically, you know, because you maybe you take for evident that you can make it, so that's the difference, and maybe you don't realize that it needs, like, the person is admirative of you managing to do it so easily and so spontaneously, because they think for them it's hard to do, but for you it's so evident that you can do it that you actually naturally do it. Is it something like that?
Yes, I think so. I'm also, for example, the sports bouldering. So maybe it's interesting to hear. I used to play lots of team sports like soccer and field hockey. And then I had an accident playing soccer. I had a surgery, and then I kind of had to restart my whole sports life because I couldn't really continue with the team sports, which has a lot of stop and go. So I started climbing, and I remember these days, it's been 5 years now, but I remember really well starting climbing and how hard it was and how embarrassed I felt going to the gym and not really getting up the wall. And so, but I also remember still going every second day, and I was quite lucky because I joined an alpine club at the University of Maastricht, and so there were many beginners, there were also other women my age, so we did it together, and that was really how I got to, well, now being able to climb, and that experience is still, it was hard, like it it's physically hard, but and then also sometimes mentally when you see like the, you know, the guys that rip off their shirts and are almost like monkeys in the gym, and they use like the little crimps to go and get up the wall, and they're very intimidated by it. But at the same time, like now I can do it, and I mean I don't, you know, rip off my shirt, and I try to not like brag or rather help, but so there was a lot of belief and that in myself that I can do it, and also this learning is still very present for me, that if I put a lot of effort I can actually get there. And I guess sometimes in the sports it's like quite evident sometimes to me that some people don't have it or you need a lot more motivation, and that's totally okay. I very much understand that.
Yeah.
But it's sometimes I wonder about it, and that's why I guess this belief in oneself.
And that's also, I mean, I really like your example, because I think it's the also perfect comparison metaphor, because, you know, it's climbing. So usually when you have an obstacle, you think of a mountain or something which is hard to climb. And then little by little you did. I have one question about that. Like when you said you had this accident, which then you decided to try climbing for that because you couldn't do another sport, right? Or?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, for a knee accident, a knee surgery, it's not the greatest sport, but it was by chance, because my cousins climbed and they took me to the gym and then I like,
because that's actually my question. Like I find amazing that you still, it makes it even more admirable that you went into that, because after having such an accident, I mean, many people would say, I would feel defeated, would feel like, okay, that's not made for me. I got this injury, I cannot do it anymore, you know, get demoralized about it. But you instead, what you did, this new sport and tried to do it. So for you, this accident, you didn't take it as something demoralizing. You took it as something which shouldn't stop you from trying new things or making a new sport.
Yes, and I think part of it is definitely just my routine. I've always done sports, so when there was no more football, I needed something else. I was craving for something else, so that made it much easier. The other thing is that I didn't behave very responsibly in some sense. Like I had a couple of accidents over the years where I once fell off the wall in a bouldering gym. I had to go to the hospital. Another time I played soccer, I went to the doctor, and then it's been a little more than a year. I went skiing and I also had an accident, and ever since I cannot go running again because my knee doesn't like it. So I was a bit putting too much pressure on this.
This is super interesting, because then it's also tell us that, okay, we need self-efficacy, we need self-confidence, we need that thing. And it tells us two things. So there you are super highly motivated and you needed it and you wanted it so badly that even though you were stopped by it, you still did it, you know, like you still went for it more, etc. And I think that's great. I think it's amazing, because basically you wanted it so badly, you know, you got such a motivation, you did it. And then another thing that it may tell us also, and that's this is what you're starting to tell me, that maybe sometimes it seems like you feel maybe it was too much, and maybe I should have rested a bit more and let's say slow down a bit more. I don't know. Do you think that there is a point where we shouldn't aim for too much trying to do it, you know?
Like in retrospectively.
Thank
you. Yes, I think so. I think I was behaving a bit, I would call it childish almost. I wanted to keep competing, you know. I think this is what the sport gave me, the competition, and this, I can do it, I have always done it, I have always played against the boys and won, and I want to continue doing that. And I think it was too much for sure, because it was unreasonable in the end. Now I cannot run anymore. I always wanted to do like a half marathon, for example. I don't think I should do that, or I cannot go on skiing trips with my friends. So each year they invite me, and I'm like, no, I can go for snow hike.
Yeah. So it's interesting, because I mean, this thing of self-efficacy, self-confidence is really, I think, I mean, you call it childish, at the same time I call it really amazing, because it's, you just go for what you want in life. So, you know, you
yeah.
But I mean, of course, and then the other aspect, because like always, it's with the equilibrium. The other aspect is that maybe making it too much could be actually detrimental at the end, and maybe not pushing too much is a way to also like respect ourselves, like our limits, etc. So yeah. I find it very interesting, this equilibrium, no?
Very much so, and I think it's maybe something you learn as you mature, that there's a short term and a long term, and if you feel good in the short, like, you shouldn't overdo it. Like, I think at some point, at least in sports, your body starts telling you, okay, you need to warm up more, you need to stretch more, so be more careful in general. And for me, that experience with the surgery was like, okay, my body can actually break, I can overdo it, and I should be careful. And I guess in many other areas of life, I'm not so confident. But there, it is the same mechanism in the end, that you need to learn to be happy kind of in the short term, or confident in the short term, and then also to maintain the long term.
What do you think would be how to understand when it's too much and when it's not too much, you know? How to understand when it's good to push ourselves to get this belief in ourselves that we can make it, etc., and when maybe that would be too much.
I think we all learn to listen a little more closely to ourselves, in terms of, now I'm feeling really stressed about this, and that is a sign that I'm maybe not doing well. And I already know, when I'm stressed for many days, then I will probably get sick, and then maybe I cannot do the trip I was planning with my friends. Something like this, at least for me, this is the chain of thought. So from your own experience, kind of, but I think you can also learn from experience of others, right? So talk to friends and people in similar situations, or even to grandparents and parents, or other much older people
So it would be about listening ourselves, like listening to maybe the messages sent by our body, like, are you stressed now, you're stressful, or now it's too much, or, you know, now you cannot make it. So about listening, and also maybe looking, like you say, around, examples of other people, even though we're all different, but I imagine for sure we can also learn a lot from others' experience.
I feel like that.
So it seems to me, in all of that the problem here would be, you tell me if you agree or not, it's just like this. The problem here wouldn't be so much to always want more self-efficacy and the belief that we can do it, maybe more to get things more adapted. So in areas where we lack self-efficacy, whereas we could have a lot more, and it would be make us more happy to have more, we should thrive for more of it. And in areas where we maybe go too far, we should readjust and maybe say, okay, for that I come back. So that would be finding
the
equilibrium.
Absolutely. And then also, be very conscious about it, and try to make these learnings, to transfer these learnings from one to the other area.
What do you mean by that, by transfer the learnings from one area to the other?
So I guess in my case, I take a lot of self-efficacy. I have a lot of it in sports. But then when it comes to work, it's different. I'm feeling much less confident about things, about how to handle things, about how to move around in this academic world. And it's a long learning process. Obviously, this is why we're doing a PhD. Otherwise, it wouldn't be the point in 4 years of this.
Yeah.
But yeah, I guess it's a bit like I'm trying to approach it a bit like, okay, I'm giving my best and this is all I can do.
Mm.
And I have to be very honest to myself if I actually, you know, tried my best or not. And if maybe I'm not happy with the results, then I should change my way or continue talking to people looking for alternatives. But
while the talk, I'm thinking also of something which is, because you say transferring from one to the other. So when you were saying about sport, what made you go on, etc., like push you, was that actually you wanted it so badly, you know? It's like, I've always done that, I really want that, I like that, I want to do it.
Yeah.
So if we transfer it into the work environment, is to, would be to maybe reveal what we really want and why we want that, you know, why we want that, what motivates us in that, and maybe fuel ourselves with this passion. So maybe I would say that could be a key, no, for
agreed. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that is, sometimes you want things that are not so beautiful or, you know, yeah, like, okay, so money, for example. I am actually afraid of not having a certain income. Now, this is one point for me in deciding whether I continue academia or not. And so maybe I shouldn't. Yeah, I shouldn't think too much about it, but really think more about my very internal motivation to do some type of work.
That's super interesting. Also, when you say we look for something which is not beautiful, because I mean, I totally, I think I get what you mean, which is that I was raised like that as well, that money is actually something bad, you know, like it's bad perceived. People who thrive for money, etc., it's egoistic, it's whatever you want, you know. And I think especially because before, at the very beginning, you also spoke of it as a woman, as a woman, and I think it could also very much be even more the case for women, because usually in our societies, like the guy who earns the money, who, for them it's okay to climb the hierarchy of the company, get a lot of money. And for women, maybe it's even harder, I mean, even worse perceived. I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And then also, I would understand, since we said that self-efficacy would be about wanting it so badly, if as a woman or as a, I mean, even me, I also have that. So if I internalize the idea that getting money is actually not beautiful, it's a bad thing, then I don't want it so badly anymore. I start to doubt, you know, about if that would be good to have it or not. And then I think this is probably the reason why also we get completely destroyed in our motivation to do things. Do you see what I mean, maybe?
Yeah, I mean, the point is, and my mind about money has been changing during the last years a bit, because before I thought, okay, whatever, I'm gonna always have some money to do things. But now, as I'm seeing about my life, and I live quite a student life, most of my friends actually, they, you know, they have beautiful apartments with their partners, and now they are getting married, and the first babies are on the way.
Whereas you're a PhD, you're a small little apartment.
Right, I don't own any furniture. I have all my things in two suitcases, three maybe. But and so I'm starting to at least tell myself that I actually want a certain amount of income and a certain security that I connect with it. But what is changing, for example, I think before, for me, prestige was much more important. So being like, what company do you work with? Who do you connect with? What names can you drop? Who is, you know, doing what a bit? And this is much less now important for me. It's still, I still get it, but yeah, there my priorities have changed a bit.
And what made you change about that?
Just I think having it and then being like, yeah, but actually it's not cool. Like my actual motivation of why I'm doing this work, or what I want to spend my time with, or the people I want to talk to, maybe this is not what I find at these places. It's...
And so what would you say is the, we said in some domains we would need to get more self-efficacy, in some domains maybe less. And how do we identify which domain would be helpful for us to get more self-efficacy?
I think it is a matter of cognitive balance, maybe. Like, at least for me personally, wherever I feel a bit alienated, not fitting in, maybe feeling real uncomfortable for whatever reason, there my belief in self-efficacy or self-efficacy goes. And the other way around, and I'm just remembering a word I also learned a bit in preparation for this podcast episode, which is learned helplessness. And which means that you, based on your experience in certain areas, you start believing that you cannot do it. So you will not actually try. And I think, I don't know if everyone has these areas. I do have these areas. And then it goes back, for me at least, to being very honest and saying, here, it's not working, and you're not really trying either. You are like, I think a very easy example might be that some people tell me, I don't like numbers. Like, whenever I see a number or I have to do statistics, I'm like, no. And there may be many reasons for it. Sometimes I feel like it's learned helplessness. And I find it a bit sad then that people will not get into it just because from the outside, and maybe based on experience. They never felt powerful in that area.
I remember they were doing some studies, etc. I wouldn't be able to put any name or something. But what was very clear as a result is that if a teacher believed in the student to be capable to do something, the student performed much, much, much better than a student whose teacher don't believe in this student. I don't know if you see. So for even your parents, so if your parents believe really much in you, that you can achieve a lot of things, then you're more likely to be able to achieve something. So, and probably this is this concept of self and
learned helplessness.
Okay. Yes. Yeah, because at the end, this is still again something that we internalize. So it's something like, I'm able to do it or I'm not able to do it. And depending on the answer that you give to yourself, that you internalize, and you, your subconscious tell you, you will perform well or bad. I'm making another example. I think it's also very clear with medicine. So, you know, just the placebo, for example, if you do believe, I mean, placebo at the end is working. So they give you a medicine which has nothing at all. Then they compare. And if you do believe that it's working, it's working. So it shows how much the belief that we can make it, that it's happening, or that we're able to recover from that illness is influencing the result. And I believe there could be something similar with work, with sport. So if we get a placebo, let's say, we can make it.
Very much. And I think this concept is also has been related to depression or mental well-being, mental illness, right? That people who have a higher level of learned helplessness in certain areas, they are more likely to become ill in that sense.
Okay, so I think now we start to see very well what are the problems, what we should try for, so maybe to readjust depending on the categories. We said also that maybe something helpful is to listen to ourselves, the signal body. So in both mm-hmm. cases at the end, because if we listen to ourselves, we know that we're doing too much of it, that we are putting too much energy and we should actually calm down. But also in the opposite sense, because you told me when I start to feel inadequate or I start to feel that I'm not anxious about that, I'm not doing well, it means actually because I don't believe enough in myself and I could actually achieve it if I had more self-efficacy. You see what I mean by that?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. So then the question in all of that, once we identified all of that, is what brings us the idea that we are not capable to do it? Where comes the belief that we're not able to do it? Do you have any idea about that?
I think you mentioned with the study about teachers motivating students or not very much already one major source, which is other people and the people who bring us up and the challenges that we have to face and maybe the first years of our lives, right? And then however these challenges turn out. So for example, I don't know, with the sports example, I went to a girls' school and I don't know what sports is like in a mixed high school like most people do. But I guess for me it was decisive that I could always be one of the best in that area. And I never really doubted myself. And when there was someone getting close to me or another really good student, I would go into competition mode.
Yeah.
But from there, a lot of the self-belief comes that I can do it.
Yeah.
And then differently, for example, I don't think I was a great math student. I was like okay-ish. But then I studied management and then economics, and for me the turning point was to understand how to apply the numbers and the statistics. And
I have similar example. I mean for example in the domain of sport, it's funny because it's like nearly the opposite. For example, swimming. I'm really, really, really bad at it. Still now, I'm barely capable of swimming. But that's also, and I remember because already when I was very, very young, you know, they bring us to the swimming pool where we're supposed to learn swimming. And already everybody knew how to swim. Me, I was already feeling really shitty not to be able to swim.
Yeah.
And therefore, I was so anxious and so feeling bad about myself that I was doing everything not to do the exercise and being convinced I cannot make it, you know. I don't want to learn, I don't want to do it, or shamefully enough like this.
Yeah.
And then only very late I managed to do this, you know, 150 meters certificate or something. But still now I feel really bad about swimming. I feel not confident, etc. So it's also, and instead you're taking management, numbers and so on. As for me, it was more about writing. Whenever I was writing something in class, that was good. That was just very good. And the teacher was happy and putting a very good grade, etc. So that was also encouraging me a lot. And I think now, similarly to you, as now in sport, you know, you have the confidence, you can make it, etc. In work, maybe sometimes you doubt, you said. I mean, me, sometimes I doubt also at work, but for sure, swimming pool, I'm really bad at that. And then I also, with work, I remind myself that I'm good at it, you know, like that I was good since I'm young. So what we are seeing there is that indeed the experience when we are very young is fundamental, is even determining for the future.
Yeah.
And what also is interesting for me is that in all these examples, it's very contingent. And by that, I mean that things could have been very different. So for me, maybe if I had learned to swim when I was 5 years old, 6 years old, then I would have gone to the swimming pool with the other kids. I would feel confident. I would swim with them. Then I would feel good about it.
Yeah.
And now I would be swimming in the ocean, you know, or something like that. So what strikes me is that how much significant is are these experiences of childhood already, and also how much they are arbitrary or, you know, contingent, that maybe just with a different education, different activity, different, you change a little thing at the beginning, and that could also change a lot.
Yeah, or one person complimenting you, or stressing that you're really good at it, or giving you confidence,
right,
the belief in yourself.
Right.
I think it's interesting in the work we do, because for example, for me, my master thesis was very decisive in deciding for the PhD, because the professor who supervised me at the end came to me, asked me about my future plans, and said, well, maybe a PhD is something for you. And I never dared to think about it before. But because him, this, you know, knowledgeable person in the academic world, came to me and said, hey, you could be one of us.
Yeah.
Try it. He planted kind of this thought in my brain. And the last year I was supervising a master thesis myself, and I didn't do as well as my professor, I think, but it was also a bit unfortunate because the student had a very different topic from my study subject, and also he was my first, you know, master thesis supervision and so on. But I felt that now we are getting to a point of more responsibility, like the way we talk to students, the way we motivate them, and the way we point out things can be very decisive. And so I suspect that, or I expect that the years to come, we will take more and more responsibility also for inspiring others, right?
Yeah, it's important to have, I mean, the role of others is crucial, because if we say something to one person, it can have a huge impact in their life. So, for example, this teacher of you who told you something, why not doing a PhD? And then it had a huge, I mean, impact, because you're here today. So I believe it's a significant impact.
Agreed.
Great impact. And also, because it's so contingent at the end, that, I mean, to have someone, we can get unlucky and not have someone who tells us something. So I was saying, maybe sometimes we could actually give this compliment to ourselves. We could give this motivation to ourselves, thinking, okay, I was unlucky, I didn't get the person who motivated me, but I know that it's just, if someone had told it to me, I would be super good at it, and I would have all the self-efficacy. So why not giving it to me?
Okay, I agree, and I think that's it's the process of maturing as well, right? Like understanding this a bit better and disentangling some things, and mechanisms, how you make decisions, and how you feel your mental equilibrium. But I think we should also acknowledge that there maybe is something like talent.
Yeah.
And passion. So it's not only, we shouldn't do too much reinforcement, you know, like, I'm thinking now about all these coach books, and that, like, which are okay. They are pointing at a very obvious, very true point that we are all invaluable, that we are unique, and that we can do everything we want. But there's a certain level to it. No,
then there's a reality. So what you're meaning, basically, it's coming back to what we were first saying, and how important is it to understand in which area we need to reinforce self-efficacy and our belief that we can make it, and in which area it's actually not helpful to push us even more, because maybe either could it be because actually our human body cannot hold it anymore. So for example, for you was the sport, maybe too much is too much, but also maybe pushing ourselves too much on a topic or area which is not made for us could actually leave us frustrated and feeling, you know, even though any kind of belief you put in it, maybe at the end, like you say, the talent part is not working, so.
Yeah, I think so. And I guess we all have several areas where we would like to be more self-efficient. Is that the adjective?
Yeah, we create it.
Great, there we go. And maybe it's also a matter of distributing effort and energy to different areas of your life and to be aware about it, no? And to say, now I focus on work because this is really important to me at the moment. I have a lot to learn. I believe a lot in me here, others believe in me. And then maybe I'm not gonna be a professional dancer because my rhythm feeling is a bit off. Something like that.
There also what I see is that we need to distinguish between the areas where we have the talent, we just didn't get the motivation, the person, you know, the motivation for it. We got discouraged even though we have talent and we could make it. And the areas where maybe we don't have enough talent, but we have too much motivation on it, or vice versa. But I imagine maybe one solution, tell me what you think about it, but is also that usually where we have the motivation is also usually where we have the talent. Because if we have the passion, it's because we have an interest. If we have an interest, it's usually because that's working for us.
Yes, I agree. I also don't really know how to define talent in that sense. It feels like, so on the one hand, it can be something like God-given, you know, like something genetic. You just have it or you don't have it. But I guess...
Is it also...
Sometimes we think people have more talent just because they have more experience. Like someone who's, I don't know, father has been an extreme sportsman, then has it a little easier maybe to... And that's... There's also talent requested, of course, which can be grown talent maybe from a young age on. But nonetheless, I think we all have specific areas where we are a little further advanced than in others, and then maybe for our own happiness it makes sense to focus on that.
Social norms also imply that maybe guys work and earn money and women stay at home and don't earn money but take care of other things. Social norms, at least past social norms. And I just want to say how much it has an influence on the motivation that we have for something.
Yes.
So maybe as a woman, you wouldn't look for getting money, etc. to get, just because you are not motivated for it, because you think it's bad, you know. And then it's all about understanding what we really want. So if we really want to follow the model of a woman at home and a man working, then yeah, let's not look for money, let's be motivated for going how it is. If we don't think that this model is the right way, or you know, we should get different kind of motivation. Do you see what I...
Absolutely. And I think it's so hard to get... it's still so hard to get out of this pattern, right? To to redefine your own social norms.
Yeah.
And take the step and say, well, where I grew up, the rules were like this, and now I'm my own adult person, and I'm going to make this decision, and I'm going to find these other people.
Yeah,
maybe that have the social norms that comply with the social norms that I tell myself I want to live with. Something many women are going through still today. That maybe you have these big dreams, and like already at the end of high school, they start telling you, well, statistically, as a woman, you will not do as well as a man. And that's kind of demotivating. And
absolutely.
So maybe you try fighting against it. And and it's also okay to make the decision, well, I'm actually fine with this way of living with these social norms, of continuing like that. And But yeah, I do think that especially women could use sometimes some more self-efficacy, some more belief in themselves to go for other goals and to see the world a bit differently. And it is really hard.
Yeah, it's very hard, as you say, for many reasons, just because we said also how much the others, what they think or conceive impacts us, so parents, school, etc. And then maybe, like you say, in high school, if they tell you these are the statistics, so it's not even a normative judgment here, so they're not saying what's good or bad or go for it, and just a fact, you know, statistics. As a woman, you will earn less than a man. This is super discouraging, even though the person doesn't seem to say something which is good or bad or encouraging you or discouraging you, you know. It's just giving apparently neutral fact, but which is actually having a big impact. Because So that's for sure a really big thing. And then maybe that would be in our talk with self-efficacy, with self-confidence, with legitimacy. Everything that we said is more or less connected at the end to motivation and what we really want, no?
Yes.
And also how much what we want is the social norm, or how much what we want is good for us, our happiness, and how much what we want is actually maybe not, or can be also not good for us, because we push ourselves too much in our body, back to the example of sport. So I really see a common theme here.
Agreed, yeah.
Okay, I think that works as a maybe kind of a summary. I'm trying to make a summary usually, so I think that works for a summary. Just this podcast is called One Change in the World because it comes from a quote which says, be the change you wish to see in the world. So maybe after having summarizing all of that, what is maybe one piece of advice or one insight that you would like to select and remember to say, how can we be the change that we want to see in the world?
Oh.
Big question.
But also I don't feel like in the place to actually advise a huge population on what to do.
Yeah.
I think trust in yourself, and that, then the second one, talk to others. I think this helps a lot. This is at least how I oftentimes open my eyes and I'm like, okay, this person has a totally different life, but he or she does it this way and it works really well. And
so we talk to others, what do you mean? Talk about what with others?
Like today, like don't be afraid to talk about topics that you really have on your mind, conflicts also. I try to do that at least. We don't know each other that well, but we still talk about it.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, sure.
And it's very inspiring in a way, and I'm sure I will tell my friends and family about it and hopefully continue the talk. And I feel like this flows a lot into my self-confidence, self-efficacy and legitimacy thinking.
Well, thank you very much. I think it's the perfect advice. I mean, even if you didn't want to give an advice, I think everybody could take it as an advice, actually. For sure, it's a good insight. And thank you very much for all this talk. And to all the people who are listening to this podcast, see you the next time for the next episode. Ciao. I hope you have enjoyed this episode. This was the first of a new year for One Change in the World, so it also comes with a surprise. Every first day of the month, you'll still have your usual episode, but at the end of it, on top of that, I will throw down a mini challenge to you. This is an opportunity to make a good deed in this world, to make a positive change in the world, because I was quite frustrated that after each episode, we come with plenty of beautiful ideas to change the world, but then when it comes to putting it into practice, that was lacking a bit. So this is an opportunity to do that. On top of that, each month, one participant in the mini challenge will be selected to win a prize. That will be either a notebook or a phone case or a mug. But you'll see the photos. I've sent that on the pages in the social networks of the podcast. And we can start already. So Alexandra suggested
that we shouldn't be afraid to tell our stories, to speak with others about it. So my mini challenge for you this month is to tell us about a personal experience that you had where self-efficiency or self-confidence was important, was played a role in the story. And that's all. So make sure to mention us in your story or your post or your tweet, and you will have the opportunity to win this prize. And on top of making a beautiful and good change for the world. So thank you for that, and see you. I'm looking forward to hearing about your stories.